Amen. Praise the Lord for that special and just the truth that is found in that song. And our God is a great big God, and we are so small in comparison. And we're thankful that He saved us, He wants to have a relationship with us, and that He leads us and guides us. What a great blessing that is. Why don't you take your Bible and turn to Genesis in chapter 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. And the Lord directed my thoughts toward this passage this week as praying about what God would have me to preach this morning, and directed me to a very familiar passage of Scripture, and we'll start here, and we'll look to some other passages this morning, but probably a verse all of us could quote. And if you found your place in God's Word, I want you to stand this morning, and we'll read just one verse as our text today. Genesis in chapter 1 and verse 1. Where the Bible says there, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Yeah. And again, a familiar passage of Scripture. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can lose the truth found in a verse that we have heard over and over again. But I want you to focus especially on the first four words there in that verse. In the beginning, God. Before anything else was, there was God. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we're dependent upon you. And Lord, as we think of the words to the song that we've just heard, Lord, how great you are, how small we are. Lord, and as we consider the truths found here in this passage, Lord, that you are God, that you have created all things. Lord, and as that is the case, Lord, you've created life with purpose. You've created the church with your purpose. Lord, and I pray that you'd help us to understand, Lord, through your Scripture, what you've revealed to us in your Word, Lord, about these purposes, and help us to understand and grow this morning. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. One of the first things the Scriptures reveal, the very first thing that we see in the Word of God, is that everything starts with God, and He is the foundation of all things. That before anything was, God was there. The first thing the Bible reveals to us is a creator God. And I love as you go through Genesis chapter 1, and you see as God in 6 days spoke into existence everything that we see. That's an incredible thought this morning. The creator God, and He reveals Him to us. The very first thing God wants us to understand about the Scriptures is who God is. The fact that He has created all things. What a blessing. Our God has no beginning. He is never, was never born. The Bible reveals that before time, before space, before this world was created, our God was there. The Scriptures say from everlasting to everlasting, He has no beginning, He has no ending, He has always existed. So can I tell you this morning, as a Christian, that ought to make us say hallelujah. That our God has always existed, because knowing that, our God is not controlled by this world. Listen, our God is not a God of man's making. It's not a God that someone dreamed up sometime and had an idea of who they wanted God to be. No, our God is not controlled by this world, but rather He is in control of all things. The very first thing God wants us to know about Him is that He is the Creator God. He has no starting point. He has no ending point. The Bible reveals, listen, that He has always existed. Can I tell you, for the human brain, we cannot comprehend that. Everything that we know has a beginning point and an ending point. Everything runs on a calendar, a time clock, and can we just understand this morning that God is the one that created time? God created the calendar. God created and ordained the events of our lives, and therefore we understand that God has always existed. Praise the Lord, God is in control of all things. Amen. We think about our world today. We live in a very confused society, do we not? Begin to read the headlines, and quite honestly, very troubling. Well, however you digest your news, whether it's through the television or through your smartphone or the newspaper, the headlines of the day show the wickedness in man's heart. We show the depravity of mankind, and yet it seems as if our world has all but forgotten about God. You know, sometimes the devil would tempt us to think that the devil's in control now. and that God no longer has control of things. And yet I want you to understand that no matter what man may think or say, the Bible is still truth. What God has recorded for us in His Word is still truth. It still ought to govern our life. The Bible is truth, and the Bible reveals that before anything was, God was. Long after this world has been burned up, God will still be. From everlasting to everlasting. That's what God reveals in His Word to mankind about who He is. The first thing God wants you to know is that He is the eternal, existent creator of this world. The very first thing that we see that's revealed from Scripture, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then God reveals to us, the Scriptures reveal that God created mankind. And in the creation of mankind, God created mankind for purpose. I want you to understand that your life has purpose today. The Bible reveals that God created you with purpose. I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 90. Solomon chapter 90. The same Moses that wrote the book of Genesis that God used to record the creation account. He also wrote this psalm, Psalm chapter 90, a prayer of Moses. He reiterates some of the same thoughts that we see there in Genesis chapter 1. He says in verse 1, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Moses reiterates the message of Genesis in chapter 1, that in the beginning God created all things. That He is the eternal, existent God from everlasting to everlasting. He said, that's God who You are. And then he points to mankind at the later on in this passage. Turn over to verse 9 if you would. He shows us, He reveals to us who God is, and then He reveals mankind and God's purposes for mankind. The Bible says in verse 9, for all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. He's speaking of the human population. He says the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for is soon cut off and we fly away. He speaks there to the brevity of mankind. And truthfully, if you examine the idea of an everlasting God who existed before this world existed, who goes from everlasting to everlasting, and then you examine mankind, the Bible says that our days here on this earth are relatively short. 70 to 80 years, that may seem like a long time until we get a little bit older and realize that really in comparison to a God of all eternity, just a short time here on this earth. And so Moses reveals to us who God is and then reveals to us who man is. And then in verse 12, he reveals God's purpose for mankind. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. That we would live here on this earth realizing, listen, it's not really about me. That I might apply my heart to wisdom. Whose wisdom? Godly wisdom. Lord, teach me. Show me how I am to live. I love that thought. Moses saying, Lord, You've always existed. You've created everything that we see. Therefore, Lord, You're in charge. You've created mankind with a purpose. Therefore, Lord, teach us how to live. Teach us Your purpose for mankind that we might apply our hearts to godly wisdom. And can I say this morning as a Christian, this ought to be our prayer. Teach us, O Lord. Teach us how to live. Teach us how that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. With continuing in this idea of God revealing Himself to mankind, the first thought He gives to us is who He is. He is the Creator God. And then He reveals Himself to mankind. He's created us with purpose. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to see there as Paul is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the church at Ephesus. He says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, the Lord reveals to us through Paul that the will of the Lord is that mankind would acknowledge God and live according to his precepts. Teach us to number our days. What does that mean? That means that I would apply my hearts to godly wisdom, that God would reveal himself to us, that mankind, we would acknowledge him for salvation, and then he could shine light in our lives, giving us the purpose for which we live. God's purpose for you this morning is, first of all, that all of you would be saved. That you'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's revealed that in the scripture. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. Listen, for us to realize the purpose and the meaning of this life as God has revealed it to us, we must first realize that we need to be saved. The good news is that that salvation is extended to every man, woman, and child above the age of accountability. If you've come today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you, the invitation has been extended to you. God says, come to me, acknowledge me as your personal Savior, and I will give to you eternal life. And so we see that he extends that. The will of the Lord is that mankind, first of all, would be saved. And then once we're saved, that we would receive his truth so that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. God reveals himself, first of all, to mankind. This is who I am. Then he reveals himself, this is my purpose, that first of all, you would acknowledge that there is a God. That you would read the pages of Scripture, and that as you acknowledge that there is a God, that you would accept me as your personal Savior. And then you would allow the light of the truth to shine in your heart. That it would guide you as you live every day, not according to your own purposes, but according to my purpose. And so God reveals that to mankind. And which brings us to the revelation of God revealing the church in the New Testament church age. That God would allow us to receive a church that we might attend so that we might receive the light of truth in our hearts, that we might grow in our faith. And so God brings us to the church. The scriptures not only reveal who God is, they not only reveal his plan for mankind, but the scriptures reveal his plan for his church. I want you to turn over to Matthew in chapter 16. Matthew in chapter 16. Understanding this morning that before any of this was, God was. From everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, he's created everything. He's created it with purpose, and it's our job to find out what he wants, how he wants things to function. Matthew in chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus speaking to Peter. Here he says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Peter's name comes from the Greek word, it's Petros. It means a piece of rock. He says that thou art Peter. And then he changes the subject matter of who he's speaking about. He's no longer speaking about Peter. And he says, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, some religions would teach that the New Testament church is built upon the rock of a man in Peter. That he would be the first pope. And yet, what a blessing to understand that our church has not been built upon a man, but it's been built upon the rock, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And he reveals about the church, listen, it is my church. The Creator God established the church. He established what we have here today. And I want you to understand, though Satan would do his best to destroy the church, isn't it wonderful to know that the devil has no power against it? The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Listen, we've seen the church through the centuries. The local New Testament churches, God has raised them up throughout our world. And isn't it wonderful to know, yes, there's a powerful enemy, but man, we have a powerful God. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, and though Satan would do his best to destroy it, he has no power against it. And so God reveals the church and he says, it's my church. It's built upon me. It's not built upon a man. The devil cannot tear it down. But then he reveals the church's duty. What is the church to do? How is the church to function? Would you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3? 1 Timothy chapter 3. All these things are what God has revealed to us as we're living the Christian life. He reveals to us who he is, first of all. Then he reveals to us his purpose for mankind, that we would acknowledge him, that we would live according to his precepts. And then he says, I've given you the church to help you to grow in your faith. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul speaking here to Timothy, his son in the faith, under the, again, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of the God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He says, listen, the function of the church is to uphold biblical truth. That's the job of the church this morning, to uphold scriptural truth. Can I tell you this morning that no other institution has been given that responsibility to be the pillar and ground of the truth? Hollywood has not been asked to portray truth, and praise the Lord for it. The news media, they've not been asked to portray the truth, and sometimes they don't. As we think about the government, they've, while they should be giving truth, they've not been asked to portray the truth. The Bible says that the church of the living God, the church that he has established, it is our responsibility to carry forth biblical truth, to present biblical truth, so those that come into the church that are lost and on their way to hell can find out that there is a God, that he's created them with purpose, and that he's given them a purpose for living, and that the church is to uphold biblical truth and to preach God's word so that they can be saved. So that when they're saved, they can receive the truth of God's word, that it would be like a light that shines in their heart and points them in the direction that they should go. Can I tell you what a blessing to be a part of a church that God has established? So we think about this Lighthouse Baptist Church. We think about how God established this church almost 35 years ago. We just celebrated our 34th anniversary in April. Now in our 35th year of ministry, one of the things I love to hear is the history of how God established this church. Pastor often, on anniversary Sunday, always goes over the details and how God worked in his heart and how God gave miracles to bring this church about. And listen, in this history of the church, of this church, we see that this church was established with God as the foundation. Amen. That pastor acknowledged, this is not my church, it's God's church. That he was the foundation. Can I tell you, as we look back on the 35 years of ministry, and as long as this church has acknowledged God as the foundation by which we function, we have seen God's hand upon it. We've seen God bless time and time again, do miracle after miracle. But I want you to remind you, listen, as we go forward, God still must be the foundation by which we function. It's not up to us to change things. It's not up to us to decipher Scripture and interpret the way that we would interpret. Listen, God must still be the foundation by which we function. And God has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself in Scripture. He's revealed to mankind, this is your purpose, that you would acknowledge me, that you would be saved, and then I can give you purpose for living. And then God has revealed to us his church and how the church should function. As we spend the balance of our message this morning, I want to give you three quick things that God has revealed to us about his church. Three quick things from Scripture. First of all, may we understand that in his church, Christ is to be prominent. That Christ is to be the focus of his church. He is to be prominent. The Bible says, and again in Matthew in chapter 16 and verse 18, as Jesus was speaking to Peter, he said, thou art Peter, a piece of a rock. But upon this rock, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. May we understand that the rock is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of the church. Amen. He says, in my church, I am to be prominent. I am to be the focus of everything that is said and done. Listen, can I say this morning, he's the subject of our message. Christ is to be the subject of the message that we preach. Listen, I don't understand churches that'll take a movie, a recent movie in Hollywood that's been produced in filth, and they'll take that movie and they'll show a clip of that movie, and then they'll begin to preach a message about truths found in that movie. I don't understand that. When God has given us eternal truth in his word, and he says, I am to be the subject of the message, I am to be the focus of the church. Listen, everything that we do is centered around Christ. He's to be the focus of our message. He's to be the focus of our singing. Listen, we don't need to borrow the world's music in the church. We don't need to bring the world's lyrics into the church. Why? Because he is our focus. He says, in my church, I am to be prominent. Listen, in a day and age when many churches have turned away from biblical preaching, can I say that Christ is still our message? It's what we have need of when we gather on Sunday. Listen, we need to hear about Christ. We need to hear about God and what he's doing in our lives. Can you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Christ reveals in his church, he is to be prominent. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church here. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, he says, it is the power of God. And when we lift up Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God's power is seen in this place. When pastor stands behind the pulpit and he begins to expose scripture and he begins to speak about God, we see the power of Christ on display. He says in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. I love this. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then I love verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. He says, in my church, I am to be prominent. The message ought to be centered around Christ. Listen, how foolish of me to try to stand up and give you my philosophy. How foolish of me to try to stand up here and give you some other philosopher and give sayings that they might say. Listen, may we preach Christ. May he be prominent in our preaching. One of the things I've always appreciated about our pastor is biblical messages that are centered on Christ. I love that we don't turn to a passage and we read a verse and then we close our Bibles and never turn back to the Scriptures again. I love that as pastor preaches, listen, the Scripture flows throughout those messages and the Word of God is built upon biblical preaching. And I love that about our church. Listen, many have been saved. You looked at verse 21 and that's your testimony. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You walked into a church and someone opened up the Word of God and preached the Word of God to you and you realized the gospel that day. And you called upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What a great blessing. I love the idea of those that say, listen, I get fed as I come to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. You come in weekly and you say, Pastor Teddy preaches messages built on the Word of God. And I love that idea because we grow in our faith through that. And listen, I'm looking forward to the day when Pastor can be back in the pulpit. Can you imagine after several weeks of just God working in his heart and his mind, the messages, and praise the Lord, built upon the Word of God. But can I say this? In the meantime, we're still going to be fed. Christ is still going to be our message here in this pulpit. Christ is still to be prominent from this pulpit. This is still his church. Things that he's revealed about his church. First of all, he's revealed that he is to be prominent. The second thing that he reveals about his church is not only that he is to be prominent, not only is he to be our focus, but he is to be preeminent. The idea behind preeminence, to be first in rank or influence. To understand that the church exists not for my purpose, and not for your purposes, but for his purpose. Would you turn to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1, Paul speaking to the church at Colossae. He says in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. what we read earlier, that in the beginning, before any of this was, there was God. He says all these things have been created by him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and I love this, and by him all things consist. He's the reason we have life. He's the reason we meet together today. Look in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, his church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He says what he's revealed to us about his church is not only that he's to be prominent, not only is he to be the focus of our message, but listen, he is to be preeminent. He's the reason we exist. Can I tell you that as church members, we must remember that this church doesn't exist to cater to me. This church doesn't exist to lift me up and to cater to my preferences, but exists to lift up Christ. Can I tell you, sometimes my preferences and Christ's preferences don't always align. I don't always like to hear a message that exposes my sin. I don't always like to be convicted of the things that I've done wrong. But may I understand, it's not about my preferences. I'm going to tell you, Satan has worked through many Christians, making them think that they are preeminent in the church, that the message should be about them, that some would even go to the audacity of speaking to a pastor and saying, listen, I really don't like the subject matter that you've preached on. I don't really want you to preach against sin. I want a message that makes me feel better about who I am. I don't want to have conviction. Listen, can I tell you, that may not be what we want, but it's what we need. That he is preeminent. That the pastor somehow should listen to my preferences and cater his preaching style to me. But I want to remind you of verse 17, where the Bible says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's what he reveals about his church, that he is to be not only prominent, he is to be preeminent. And then finally, what does that mean for us? The final thing is, he is to be proclaimed. Amen. In his church, he is to be proclaimed. That God would work through us as church members. That as we receive the preaching and teaching of God's word, that the message that is centered around Christ, and as he's lifted up in this place, and as we do things according to his preferences, and as he is preeminent, that God works in our hearts so that we'd go out to a lost and dying world to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. That's his purpose for his church. That's what he's revealed in Scripture. Listen, that we wouldn't just come in and we wouldn't just take in a message and then go out of this place and not leave different, not taking the message of Jesus Christ with us, but that we would receive what God would have for us to receive. We'd go out and proclaim his name wherever we go. He is to be proclaimed in his church. Can I tell you this morning, if God was before anything else existed, and God will still be after all this is gone, then God is truly the only thing that matters. It's all that matters. Listen, he has created us for his purpose. Can I tell you that our lives ought to be given to proclaim his name because he is all that matters? I find that sometimes in my own life, that I allow the cares of this world to bog me down. The things that I'm dealing with, maybe the week that I've had, and sometimes, quite honestly, as we come into church, we might come bearing burdens, and our mind is anywhere but here. May we realize that we exist for his purpose. I love to study the beginning of the book of Acts, and it chronicles the early church. In fact, would you turn over to Acts in chapter 2? We understand that Christ started the church with him as his disciples. And then throughout the book of Acts, we see God sustaining his church and empowering his church. And then spreading his church and perpetuating his church. What a great blessing to understand it's his church and he does these things. But we see in the early church there in Jerusalem, we see that Christ was prominent. He was their message. He was preeminent, the reason they existed, and he was proclaimed by the early church members. Can I tell you, the early church members, they didn't really concern themselves with the cares of this life because most of them didn't have much to speak of. In fact, the Bible reveals in Acts chapter 2 there in verse 41, there on the day of Pentecost, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now notice verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to them all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here's a group of people that took the message that they'd received, and they began to proclaim him with their lives. The Bible says some of them said, I don't worry about the cares of this life. Some of them lost homes. Some of them lost relationship because they decided to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of them were removed out of their houses. Some of them lost jobs. And the early church said, we don't really care about the cares of this life. They began to sell some things so that they could take care of the needs of one another. And the Bible says as they proclaimed Christ wherever they went, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He brought them there because they were proclaiming Christ. Listen, God allowed them to see thousands saved. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Here, a couple chapters later, 5,000 people saved in the city center as Peter and John preached to the masses. And God was adding to that church. And yet, also understand this, they weren't exempt from difficulty. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. They were told that they should no longer speak the name of Christ. But I love this verse, and it was preached about Wednesday night here in the church, Acts chapter 5 and verse 41 and 42. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were counted worthy to proclaim his name where they went. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Because they revealed God's purpose is that I would proclaim him wherever I go. Listen, this is a convicting thought for me. You see, it's easy to proclaim Christ when there's food on the table. It's easy to proclaim Christ when there's blessings, when the bills are paid, when I'm healthy, when the children are healthy. It's easy to proclaim Christ. It's easy to proclaim Christ when we have religious freedom and religious liberty. But what if God allowed a major difficulty to come? What if God allowed a major trial to come into my life? You see, God has revealed at his church that he would be prominent. He would be preeminent, but also that his church members would proclaim the name of Christ wherever they go. Listen, can I remind you that long before any of this was here, God was here. The everlasting to everlasting. He doesn't have a beginning. He won't have an ending. Long after all this is gone, longer after this world is gone, God will still be. And so therefore, if that's the case, listen, why do we spend so much time here on this earth allowing so many other things to crowd him out? Why do we allow the cares of this life to bog us down? Why do we allow them to keep us from being the Christian that God would have us to be? He reveals as a church that we are to proclaim him to a lost and dying world. That's what he reveals in his scripture. He reveals to us, first of all, who he is. He then reveals to us who we are and what his purpose in creation was. Then he reveals to us the church that he would be prominent, he would be our focus, that he would be preeminent, that he would have first place in this place, and that he would be proclaimed, that we would take the message of Jesus Christ and we wouldn't allow it just to change us, but we would allow it to change those that are around us because we're proclaiming his name. I love the story of Fanny Crosby. Many of you are familiar with the hymn writer Fanny Crosby. She was blind and she wrote, it's believed, somewhere between 6,000 and 9,000 hymns in her life. Some of those they're still discovering today. But Fanny Crosby wasn't born blind. She was blinded at 2 months old. Her parents had taken to a doctor. She had some type of a sickness, and the doctor, who really didn't know what he was doing, took some type of an ointment and put it in her eyes to try to treat this sickness that she had. Obviously, it shouldn't have been put in her eyes, and it made her go completely blind, something that she would live with the rest of her life. And yet she allowed that trial, that God had allowed that trial to come in her life, and she didn't get bitter. She dedicated her life to proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. One day, a well-intentioned preacher said something to her about the idea of wishing. I bet you wish the Lord had restored your eyesight. And this was her response. She said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." She lived her life to proclaim the name of Christ. Listen, I want to ask you this question. Are we doing all we can to proclaim Christ? Listen, I understand we deal with difficulties. Every one of us do. We have hardships. Those things that come in our life. And listen, those things that the devil would cast upon us to try to bog us down. And yet the truth of the matter is, God has created us. He's created us with a purpose to receive Him first of all and then live according to His purpose. His purpose is that we would take the gospel and proclaim it. We would see others' people saved. Listen, are we doing all we can to proclaim Christ? Or have we allowed the cares of this life to crowd out His purpose for us? This morning, what God has revealed to us, God has revealed Himself to us, who He is, a Creator God, from everlasting to everlasting. Then He reveals, "I've created you with purpose. My purpose for you is that you would first of all be saved. And then that you would live according to my commands. And I've created the church to be able to help you with that. That the messages would be centered around Christ. So that when we receive those messages, we leave changed. So that we can go out and impact our world for the cause of Christ." Let me ask you this morning, Christian, are we doing all we can to proclaim Christ? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Appreciate so much the way that you've listened today. I don't know how God may have used this message in your heart and life. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, can I tell you today could be the day of salvation? That as we respond to what God is doing in our heart, as He calls to us, to Him, as we respond to that, we can be saved. We can accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, there's some men and some women up here that will take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. And then for the Christian this morning, we understand His purpose for the church, that He would be prominent, that He would be preeminent. But are we proclaiming Him? Are we taking the gospel with us wherever we go? Are we doing all that we can to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ? Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for those that have gathered here today, Lord, that have come to seek You. Lord, I pray that You have used this message in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that You would prick our hearts, that no matter what we go through, Lord, that we would realize that we exist for Your purpose. Lord, that You've given us the church to proclaim You. And Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, Lord, that we would take the gospel with us wherever we go. Lord, we love You and we thank You for these things. In Your name I pray. Amen.